Welcome to Water Beyond Earth, a podcast series where we explore the world of lunar water extraction and purification. Our model example is the LUVEX project, a collaborative European endeavor for lunar water extraction and purification technologies. Join us as we present the project vision, as we examine the importance of water in space exploration and discuss the technical aspects of water extraction and purification. Each episode will bring you closer to understanding a future in which astronauts will sustain themselves in their exploration voyages by using the resources they find beyond Earth's boundaries.
Welcome to the Water Beyond Earth podcast. In this episode, we will be discussing the significance of water in lunar and space exploration, and we will delve deeper into water processing and purification strategies. We're delighted to have three guests today: Giorgio Boscheri, a space engineer from Thales Alenia Space Italia, and Anna Jurga and Karol Leluk from the Department of Environmental Engineering at the Wrocław University of Science and Technology. Welcome, guys. It's very nice to meet you.
Hi, pleasure to be here.
Nice to have you. I will ask you to introduce yourself, since it will be too much for me to read all of your bios. I think it will be easier if you can introduce yourself. So Giorgio, can you tell us about yourself, what you're doing, what you're working on?
Sure. I'm a space engineer. I work at Thales Alenia Space in Italy since 2008. And Thales Alenia Space is a company specialized mostly in the integration of large systems, both satellites but also space exploration systems. And since the beginning, I've been involved in the research and development of regenerative life support systems for space exploration. I'm based in Turin, where we do that. And my main fields of specialization and technical responsibility are water treatment technologies, as well as bioregenerative life support systems.
And can you tell us what is your role within the LUVEX project?
Absolutely. Within the LUVEX team, I coordinate the team here at Thales Alenia Space. We are responsible for the raw water purification subsystems. And as well, we do activities at system level shared with DLR, and we are responsible for the demonstrator design adaptation toward a productive flight scenario in the next future.
Can you explain what system design and demonstrator design mean?
Okay.
Just very briefly, just to make clarify.
Yeah. Within the LUVEX project, we have a complete system that goes from the extraction of water from the ice within the lunar regolith in the polar regions, all through the final phase of having processed pure water. So the system is the whole set of process-specific subsystems that allow this process to get to the end. And the demonstrator that we are currently aiming within the LUVEX project will be a first technological demonstrator, so not scaled up to a full production system of these set of subsystems.
Okay, thank you. And what about you, Anna? Can you introduce yourself and tell us what you're working on and what you're doing and what is your part of the project?
Sure. I'm PhD research assistant at, as you said, at Environmental Engineering Faculty of Wrocław University of Science and Technology. And besides that, I'm a scientific lead and engineer at a local vertical farm, where we cultivate some cannabis in soilless systems. So I try to combine my theoretical studies at a university with industrial experience. And like my biggest focus is the sustainable combination of agriculture and water sector, both in space and here on Earth. It's something really inspiring for me.
Okay, so probably you will be able to tell us a little bit more later about the terrestrial applications of
yeah,
the
maybe. Loop. We will see.
Nice.
Thank you, Monica.
Thanks. What about you, Carol? Can you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, sure. So I am a PhD researcher on Wrocław University of Science and Technology, so just the same as I am. But currently, I am holding a position of vice dean, being responsible for scientific research and international cooperation. But this is not the very important part when talking about the LUVEX project. My university background is chemistry, so this is what I would like to put or introduce into the project. And yeah, in a LUVEX project, I'm leading the Wrocław University of Science and Technology team, in which we are responsible for a subsystem, which is focused on water quality and condition monitoring. So speaking in a few words, we are just looking for specific probes just to monitor the water quality that mm-hmm. Giorgio and our colleagues within the LUVEX project produces within the whole system.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks. Before we get to the further questions, I wanted to ask, you said water quality and condition monitoring. What is the difference between water quality and water condition?
Water quality means presence, or actually we are looking for absence, because the specific ions, the specific chemical compounds that may be harmful for a crew that is put out on the space, and they rely only on the water supply that is still on the craft. So this is of a huge importance for the living conditions. Of course, water may be used for any other applications, not only to sustain human beings, but also for electrolyzers or propellant and any other technical issues. The water quality basically means to monitor the presence of chemical compounds and make it easy to be consumed by the crew.
This is all super interesting, and it's really nice to see people from environmental engineering on the project. So I was wondering, is this a first space project that you're involved with as a department of environmental engineering? And if not, can you tell us a little bit more on the other projects, both you, Anya, and Carol, that you are involved in? Because it's really interesting to get this perspective from environmental engineering and space system design.
Yeah, as an environmental engineering representative, I have to admit it. This is the first project, real first space-related project that we are involved into. But in a few years earlier, we did some other experiments that may be useful for this kind of space related experiments, like aquaponics or the what Anya told us in a brief introduction, this vertical cultivation plant. Really working with the team that we have now in the LUVEX project is our first experience. So we try to do our best to show our the highest, the utmost quality, the best knowledge to be introduced within. And actually, yes, we've got the team that specializes in water purification, like membrane systems or reverse osmosis. They are working with from years. So that was the LUVEX project was the possibility to just explore new space for us.
Nice.
This is really exciting for all the academic staff involved within the project, the LUVEX project, to take a part within it.
It's really interesting to see the whole consortium of the projects, how many different, like, even if it's very specific about like very specified subjects, it's still very interdisciplinary. So it's nice to see that collaboration.
Yes, of course. And
oh, sorry.
just go to ahead, add. Okay, I just wanted to add one sentence more. The LUVEX project, the space related project, this is a new experience, but to tell more specifically, it's a different kind of project management and a very different kind of cooperation within the consortia, because mm-hmm. we've been taking a part in many R&D projects, investment projects as well, as scientists, of course, but this was the first launch to the LUVEX project, and we faced very different way of organization, so management, and yeah. a very different way of coordination of this scientific job to be done.
Okay, interesting.
So not only from scientific part, this is different, but also from management. This okay. is a kind of new experience.
Well, for me, it's also the first project that I'm like doing a podcast for. So for me, it's also a bit different. Anya, can you tell us about your experience? Did you work on any other?
So from my side, besides students' competition space-related project, my like the first space project, but maybe not like specifically, but was my PhD. And it involved the closed loop system between wastewater unit management and biomass cultivation system. So in my research, I focused on biological fertilizer production from urine and gray water, and then application of such produced fertilizer in aeroponic and hydroponic lettuce cultivation. So, every experiment was conducted here on the ground. So it was more like a circular economy study, but with focus on future space missions. So I don't know if I can call it like the first space project, but definitely, I had to do mass of research and background research in general, and it was awesome. And I really liked what you said about interdisciplinary. I think it's like one of the precious thing here in space projects in general, that all of those persons are really inspired by space, and also space design is somehow allows you to think outside the box. So you really need to click with all those requirements and limitations, and it will help developing some systems here on Earth, in my opinion.
Speaking of requirements of limitations, Giorgio, can you give us a bigger picture of, in general, the importance of water in space exploration, in human space exploration, and then lunar exploration? Like, why we need projects like LUVEX?
Absolutely. Well, we can start from the moon, since LUVEX points at the moon. But what I say for the moon is applicable to any other space exploration scenarios. So, water on the moon, for example, would serve several critical purposes for lunar missions and potential lunar bases in the not so far future. The first that comes to my mind is use of water for life support. So the most immediate use could be to support humans for drinking, obviously, but also for hygiene. And possibly in a little further future, also for growing foods in space and on the lunar surface. So this is a first obvious of use of water as water. But that's not all, because water can be split into hydrogen and oxygen through electrolysis, never understood how you say that. And so you can use it as oxygen supply. And the oxygen could be used directly as breathable air supply in the habitats to the astronauts who want to go in extravehicular activities on the lunar surface. But again, it's always life support. So water is water and water is oxygen for life support. In addition to that, it could also be used as rocket fuel, because when we have separated hydrogen and oxygen, we can then use them as chemical rocket propellant. And the availability like of rocket fuel on the moon could significantly increase the feasibility, the cost effectiveness of future space exploration, like mission to Mars or beyond. So water is life also in space as on Earth.
And I guess all of these different applications that you mentioned, they require different processing methods, different purification strategies, or different like requirements, how they should be processed?
That's exact. They do have different requirements for which they need to be processed. And we need to be smart enough to find as common as possible solutions to achieve those results. I don't know. For example, for life support, water quality is stretched in all directions. So you need to remove any little amount of toxins, bacteria, or chemicals that could have serious impacts on health. And so, and also the water purification system is your life-based system. So it would need to be highly effective and reliable, zero margin of error. So the requirements around that would be also really strict. While if you want to use the water for oxygen supply, then maybe you do not need it to be as pure as for drinking, but there are still other impurities that might affect the efficiency of the electrolysis process and contaminate the produced oxygen. So you have a little bit more relaxed requirements on multiple ends, but maybe on total dissolved solids, you have stricter requirements than the life support one. And also for rocket fuel, probably you would need to have quite pure water, because it could cause problems to rocket engines, like clogging, combustion issues, damage to components. So again, you would probably not care about bacteria or toxins, but for sure you do have strict limitations on presence of ions and other contaminants.
But then if you have like different types of water that are purified to different requirements, then I guess the system gets more complicated in a way of like how you manage the water, like within the space station, for example, because you have to constantly keep track on which water is which. Does that make sense? That like the more types of water you have, the more complex the system is, and then that's why you're trying to get more unified way of purifying it. Did I understand it correctly?
Yeah, when we will have a huge lunar water purification plant for multiple uses, we will not have a one-for-all solution.
Okay.
So that's not going to happen because it's not cost-effective. You don't want to purify everything to the purest enveloping quality just to have the same type of equipment for all waters. But we will likely do the exercise to at least put in common most of the processes and then get to some intermediate quality water, and from that divide into the different water typologies that we want to produce.
And can you explain the differences of how the water management works on, let's say, International Space Station versus how it would work in the lunar habitat? Because I guess it will be a little bit different. You cannot really produce water from like regolith on the ISS and on the moon. I assume like the LUVEX project is towards producing water, or like extracting and purifying water. So you can have technically more water. You don't have to recycle 100%.
Yeah, it's really clear. There are different constraints on the International Space Station and on the moon. And also there is a different knowledge of the water you need to purify. Like on the ISS, we exactly know now what are the chemical compounds that needs to be removed, the biological elements that needs to be removed. And while on the moon, we still have a really few data of how the water we will extract probably will look like. So this is a first difference between the systems. Then we have different challenges, like on the ISS. Two big challenges could be the necessity to not throw away even a drop of water, because everything there needs to be brought from home. So every little drop that we cannot recover is lost, and we need to bring it back from Earth. So like now on space station, the overall water recovery is about 93%. So they recover water from the astronauts' sweat and breath condensation, as well from astronaut urine to this degree, and they drink it again, 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 again. While on the moon, we will decide if we are somehow allowed to lose a little bit more water in the process of extracting it from the regolith, based on how much value we will give to a resource that is there. Obviously, the best would be to give it the same value we gave to it on ISS and don't redo the same mistakes we're doing on Earth. But with humans, nothing is granted. And then there are other differences. For example, is on ISS, a big challenge is microgravity. So we are working with system that needs to be able to manage gas and liquid and solid phases without the help of gravity. And that moves a lot the choice of technological solutions to membrane processes. And when you do not have the chance to use only membrane processes to achieve your purification, like when for urine, when we use distillation, you need to go into really complex solutions to manage these processes in microgravity. Differently, on the moon, we have a little bit of gravity that helps a lot. So we could likely use the same technologies we use on Earth on the moon, if we didn't have other constraints.
And I guess another difference is that we have much more space on the moon. So we can have bigger habitats and we have more functions, like, for example, bigger greenhouses. So for that, we also need more water that allows us to like really grow, like establish, I don't know, lunar agriculture. Anya and Carol, can you maybe elaborate on that? Like, how would that work? The first lunar greenhouses, like, what would we need for that? And in terms of water requirements, but also in general, like, how will we grow plants in space?
When talking about the cultivation on the lunar conditions in the water supply system, this is very important what Georgia actually mentioned, and the constraints that we do have. Although on the lunar conditions, we are not so limited with the space, still we have to be aware of the fact that water is not so popular and easy to access medium like it is on Earth. This is also, I'm also referring back to words that I was mentioning when we are talking about the LUVEX project, our participation within the LUVEX project. There are several issues that we had to be very careful, and we have to take them into consideration. The one of that is, of course, the space limitation. In terms of, let's say, transporting water from the Earth to the habitat, but this is one thing that we can sort out. But the second thing, this is the energy consumption. Everything that works in space has to be really strictly taken into consideration when calculating the energy consumption. So referring to our part in our subsystem in the whole LUVEX project system, one of the things we have to cope with was the energy consumption by the water quality management probes. So yes, the cultivation, going back to your question, the cultivation of plants on the habitat, yes, of course, this is possible, but still we have to take into consideration how to water those plants, how to be sure that the watering system will be efficient for the plants grow. But on the other side, there has to be a balance with the energy consumption, which is, of course, not something that we can just skip. Because those plants, basically, they are also grown for the human, for the crew that is living in a habitat. So still those energy, the water supply that we have in the containers has to be secured for the living conditions. This is how I feel about the topic.
So I guess you can, like you were saying about the energy, so I guess you would choose plants besides like analyzing their nutritional value also based on how much water they would need, and you would tend to choose plants that need less water for the growth, for example?
Yes, and this is something that is very close to a very well-known topic and recently very popular in European Union, the circular economy. Because if we are looking on the loop of how the waste are transformed into the value-added products and so on, so this is our goal to be achieved. So also we cannot look on the plants, we cannot look on the life support systems only in on the focus of just energy consumption, but also what we can withdraw from the system. Okay, so we have to pump some kind of energy, electric. We need to support our pumps, for example, but also we have to take into consideration, into the calculation, how much kilojoules or calories we can withdraw for the crew. Okay, so basically make a raw calculation and to calculate which kind of plant is the best perspective for the living system.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So what I would add, there's like in general, vertical and soilless cultivation is very complex, can be very complex, and in beyond Earth, it's even more complex. So there are a lot of like parameters. All of those parameters are influencing each other. So you have like temperature, humidity, CO2, the nutrients. So if we are going to recycle nutrients from wastewater or wastes that are available in habitat, or are we going to like bring it from the earth? Then how the nutrient delivery system will actually look like, and all of those regulation loops. So based on what parameters are you going to control your cultivation? So it's, yeah, for me, it's really like complex topic. And for sure, it will it has to be like done from small steps, not like bang, we are doing a big cultivation for whole the crew to like have eat something. You know what I mean? So yeah, probably at first we'll have to design like little prototype for only one plant or so, and then like develop it more, scale up it. Oh, yeah.
And probably that will lead eventually to like spin-offs of technologies that you're developing for the moon or for space stations. Then you can bring back to Earth and we can benefit from the circular economy approach towards the greenhouses, agriculture, food production here on Earth.
I actually have like question. I don't know if I can ask question here, but currently for all the life support systems, we are using like physico-chemical processes. But here on Earth, for example, to produce or recycle nutrients, we can use biological processes. But I'm not sure what are the a system design view on biological processes, because on one hand, a biological process which includes microbes, it can be like counted as a crew member because it also needs oxygen. So yeah, it's I don't know. I think question for you, Monica and Giorgio, do we like even consider biological process that can happen in space system design or not really?
If you want, I can answer. Then, yeah, absolutely. Biology in space is going to be reality. There is a huge program in Europe led by the European Space Agency, which is called MELISSA, where we, the community actually is trying to export a small part of the biosphere into a spacecraft. And they will use bacteria, three different stages, and then microalgae, and then higher plants as a members of the crew to recycle crew organic waste, as well as higher plants, roots and not edible parts, to make available again the resources, partly from the crew and partly from the algae and the plants. And they already do something what you already do on ground, Anya. They already use urine as a source of nutrients for the plants through biological processing with bacteria. And Europe is a pioneer and the most advanced in this field. Although other biological elements like microalgae and plants are being studied by all national agencies all around the world.
Yeah. My understanding is that when human space exploration is in play, then like it is biological, like we are biological. So taking one more microbe, you know, one microbe more or less doesn't really change the equation that much because we already have billions of microbes in ourselves. But it is true that like working with biology, like we have competitive needs, like plants need water, we need water. I don't know, algae needs carbon dioxide, or like mushroom needs oxygen. So it is competitive, but I guess then if we approach this circularity and like really closed loop systems and we calculate our life, but also biological life and like all of the life that supports our life into the equation, then I guess we're good because they can, you know, it's all circular. That's my hope, because I'm working with biology for building habitats. So like, I really hope that biology has a green light to go. Just we have to be very careful with like contamination and things, especially like for Martian missions. And there are no really specific requirements for that. Like there are these COSPAR rules for planetary protection, but there are not really like specific steps or like how to ensure the planetary protection when you work with like different scales of biology. So the more we'll be working with biology, the closer we'll get to like being able to work with biology, if that makes sense. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And also, I think then we will have like more and more inspiration to transfer knowledge to the earth and like see that we are like big closed loop system here on earth with all those biology around us. And I don't know, you could really feel the importance of nature here on earth. That's why I love learning.
And learning from our ecosystem, like here it's obvious that it's not that one species can exist on its own, right? Like everything is connected and like we need the whole ecosystem. So I guess if we want to replicate that and be self-sustainable, then we have to take biology with us and somehow recreate it.
Yeah, LUVEX project is as a space type project is a very demanding one, but I wanted to maybe make a little sum up now. For what I told 15 minutes ago, we are developing a very huge system for a demanding application. But still, what Anya just mentioned, and you, Monica, when we transfer it down to Earth, it's much easier for engineers because there are no restrictions like energy consumption or space. Yeah, we are not limited. So I compare it when I joined the LUVEX team, I compare it somehow to F1 team or the World Rally Championship. Yeah, when it's the in the automotive industry branch, when they are developing solutions for a rally championship, which are very, very advanced, very, very high level. But years later, we can just meet them, those solutions for a suspension, shock absorbers, and so on. You are stealing line, we can meet them in our everyday car. Yeah, let's say in the next 10, 15 years. So there's just step backwards when you are thinking of this, but this is for our better future. So when talking about this circular economy, which we would like to have been implemented here in European countries and then in the perspective of decades in the whole world. Yes, this is also the very important level of LUVEX project, of dissemination of LUVEX project results. This is maybe not the easy to catch added value of this kind of project, but I think the podcast is here for just to show it, to talk about it.
Just
my personal opinion.
no, but that's really good, and I think that leads me to my last question. I wanted to ask each of you, what is your like personal drive and the significance that you see both in the LUVEX project but also in the work that you're doing on the everyday basis within the water purification, water processing, environmental engineering fields? Like what significance do you want to bring, and what do you see, like where do you see it can go within the future of space exploration but also our future here on Earth? Maybe Giorgio, you can start.
I can start. Well, that's a straight but not simple question. Focusing on the LUVEX project, then expanding from that, I do believe that our huge effort of finding water where it's hard to find and bringing extreme value to it, it's also linked to how we decide to handle our footprint as human beings in the next future. So resources, vital resources, are precious. They are today. We already know they are. We already know that the increasing population on Earth will likely bring us to a lunar scenario in the next decades. And we need to learn how to manage that, how to find water where it's scarce, it's contaminated, and it's precious, and we need to know how to do that without losing a drop. So focusing on what we do there in Luvec that is going to be precious, because as we will find it in a remote region in the South Pole of the Moon, taking a lot of risks and making investments to get that water, that will be probably also the attitude that we will need to keep in the future for all the vital resources. So really start caring about ecosystem. And that brings in general to how I choose my field of expertise. So I'm all in the field of regenerative life support systems, and I do love the bioregenerative life support systems. So those using the living beings to export our biosphere. So it's to generally treasure and see the value of our biosphere and start thinking that probably the damages we are bringing to it are going to cost us something, but we will somehow know how to manage keeping going with a limited number of species. Although trying to keep them as big as possible. So I really do look forward to learning from the constraints of space to better handle what we have.
That's beautiful. Anya, Carol?
So for me, the answer is similar as Giorgio's. All the space projects are for me about people and increasing awareness of what we can do if we work together and have mutual goal in our mind. And this increasing awareness is something I learn every day, and it actually moves me forward to the Earth solutions. So more creating a sustainable community sustainable community is a good word, where we can be astronauts, but here on Earth, and we work together with having in mind that our Earth is precious and resources are precious, and we can treat it that way. I would say that.
Yeah, it's really beautiful because it really feels like you're doing very meaningful work. It really brings me this warm feeling that our future could be good. Really nice. What about you, Carol?
In my everyday life, I, as a scientist, of course, I am to polymer plastic recycling. So what is very close to my personal interest is closing the loop of the waste and the materials. I do believe that one day will not maybe close it in 100% because according to technological advance, the possibilities of the technology we do have, state of the art, our knowledge, we cannot do it to all of the materials. I am talking about the Earth. But what is a driving force for me while working in the Luvec project, I feel that I am doing something very good and very big. And to speak more in a quantitative way, closing the loops, looking on the energy, preventing energy from losses, preventing the space, and focusing on those nutrition agents, focusing on all those important issues that is and can be used in our circular economy system. Because whenever we are talking about the space, whenever we are talking about the Earth, the circular economy basis is just the same. So as I told previously, the bar has been set very, very high in the Luvec project, but still when we gained its point, when we reached the top, then application on the terrestrial applications will be much easier for us. So this is the knowledge that we are gaining now. This is the experience that we are gaining. Of course, like my two colleagues said, for the future generations, for our better living conditions, and for much better, much profitable use of sustainable, in brackets, materials.
Nice.
This is for me.
Amazing. Thank you so much. That was really beautiful. I learned so much, but also I feel very, inspired. It's really beautiful. I'm very looking forward to see, to follow the project and to see the results and where is it going. And I guess we can finish with the message that with these projects, we're learning from constraints from space to use what we have in the best way we can. And I guess with your work and with this project, that's exactly what we're doing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much,
Jordan.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Monica.
The podcast miniseries Water Beyond Earth is hosted by LUVEX, a research consortium funded by the European Union Horizon 2022 Space Science and Exploration Technologies Programme under grant agreement number 101081937.